line today?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. All right. I'll just do a little tap to call the meeting to order, okay? Call the meeting of the Wilmer Municipal Utilities to order today at 11:45. And we'll look for, we have a roll call taken care of, Beth?
Yes, I have.
Roll call, I should say that. You've noted everybody that's here or not here. We'll start out with any changes to the agenda as provided to everyone. Hearing none, we'll accept the agenda as printed. The consent agenda, again, includes the minutes from the April 23rd meeting and approval of our bills. I would look for a resolution to accept our consent agenda with discussion following.
Allow for that resolution to approve.
Second.
Second.
So, okay, motion been made and second to accept our consent agenda. I would open for discussion at this time regarding the minutes or anything on the bills that you would had questions on. Everybody look through them. Well, as John knows, I always have a couple of questions on the bills to ask about. Two of them, that was the one with the grant request from Corolla, and then the other one on what's called Dakota Bites. So if you could share those.
Right, thank you, Madam Chair. Please. On Corolla, it's on page 6 that Madam Chair is referencing. It's Corolla, it's cost opinion and grant loan assistance for $2,000. That's an ongoing, I don't recall the exact number, but I believe it was a little over $30,000 that we approved or authorized Corolla to spend on grant research or not to exceed dollar amount, and that is part of that $30,000. For the most part, we have exhausted all federal possibilities for grant loan, and at the state level, we just submitted last week and a half ago, we submitted a grant application, and a loan application needs to be submitted by the end of today. So and the other option that we still have that we're looking at, that we've reached out to Senator Lang and Representative Baker, is being included in the next bonding cycle with some dollars in the bonding bill. Again, a long shot, but we are pursuing that avenue as well. And then the other one that Commissioner Lemire questioned was Dakota Bites. That is on page 7, $3,300. That's an ongoing. Chris probably can provide more detail there than I can, but they do our programming, our software. It's a software that we use for scheduling to help us manage our scheduling for our power and costs. So.
Is that working?
Mm-hmm.
It is? Okay.
Oh, maybe I just hear you.
Okay, so it is to automate our energy management system for power supply, all the megawatts, all the dollars associated, the energy, the transmission, the capacity, everything has been automated, and we're now working on the final reports so that we can close out the whole job. And that $3,300 was for 2 months' billings.
And as we go forward, that will, some of that will go away, or we won't need with Missouri River?
We'll still need it. We'll still need it. But there's no monthly charge associated.
Oh, okay. All right. Any other? If not, I'll ask you to call roll.
Certainly. Commissioner Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabu?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. And from our last meeting where we talked about the Western membership agreement in conjunction with our Missouri River Agreement. It was tabled, and for any further discussion, we do need to take it off the table. So I would ask for a motion to take that discussion off the table.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
And at this time, then, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Okay, we can get into discussion a little bit, and I'll let you just give an overview, John, because of course some of us were missing at the last meeting, so if you could just give us just a highlight of a couple of things, that would be great.
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. In under number three tab, you have three different documents there. You have the WMMPA membership agreement, the bylaws, and agreement establishing, and also the supplement to the Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency. The first one is the agreement, or is it resolution. The resolution is establishing or acknowledging that Wilmer would like to become a member of Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency. And then the next is the bylaws that basically outlines how the organization functions. And then the next one is the 202 agreement, amended agreement establishing the Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency. This agreement was originally made back in 1976. And how Western, the role that Western plays with Missouri River is that the state of Minnesota allowed for multi-state financing. So Western's primary purpose with Missouri River is a financing mechanism for Missouri River Energy Services. And then the supplement is the agreement that we will sign, indicating that, again, the first agreement, the resolution, allows us to sign the supplement to become a member. And what membership, we do not need to be a member of Western Minnesota to be a member of Missouri River, but what it will do, it will give us a board seat on Western Minnesota's board. So if you recall, when we signed the S1 agreement, before we have the ability to be on a board seat through Missouri River, that'll take place in 2025 once our GRE agreements expire. Then we are eligible for a seat there, but we'll be eligible for a Western board seat upon entering into this agreement. This agreement has a one-time fee of $300 is a one-time membership fee to become a member of Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency. Thank you.
So again, questions before we move to the resolution at this time?
Okay. Of course, Chair.
Go ahead.
Quick question, sir. Sure. So this means, John, we will have a seat on the board, is that correct?
It means that we will be eligible for a seat on the board.
But it's how many board members? Because I was looking, I see like four of them are elected.
I believe the Western board consists of five board members.
Five board members.
Once, and depending on how the kilowatts purchased or provided from Missouri River come together in relation to all the other members, eventually we will be entitled to a seat, because the four largest members of Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency, or Missouri River, by the bylaws, have permanent seats. But at this point in time, we're only getting a small proportion of our power from Missouri River. So at this point, we still would be eligible to be elected to a seat. But then once 2025 comes, 33 at the latest, then we would have a permanent seat on the board.
Okay, then I would look for a resolution to accept this membership. But one thing I do want to point out, the last item was the Wilmer supplement, and that would specifically address our involvement. It's a short one. I would look to just briefly review that or read that off so that, again, when we do make a resolution, so everyone does it, understand that supplement to the Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency. This supplement to the agreement established in the Western Minnesota Municipal Power Association made this 14th day of May 2018 by the City of Lemon, Minnesota, pursuant to the resolution of its governing body authorizing execution thereof, a copy of such resolution being attached hereto as Exhibit A. Number one, the City of Wilmer, Minnesota, designed to join as a member of the Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency, does hereby approve in all respects that certain agreement established in the Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency dated the first day of June 1976, amended April 24, 2002, and entered into by and among the 18 Minnesota Municipal Utilities named in Article 2 thereof, and I attach hereto as Exhibit B, and further agrees to be bound by all of the terms and conditions contained in such agreement as though it were an original signatory to each agreement. And as it's a blanket, would be that John Herring's address is the utility's address, shall act as a representative of the City of Wilmer upon approval of this supplement and filing thereof as required by this agreement. So it's a short agreement, but that would be part of what our resolution would be, that we approve this. So I would look for a motion to approve the resolution.
So moved. Second.
A motion be made and second. Is there any further discussion?
Chair, a quick question?
Sure.
Do we need a resolution from the city to approve John as a representative to sign this document?
I don't believe so, but as his in his job description, that would cover that, but I'll let him answer that.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Commissioner Magnuson. For the S1, we were required to have a concurring resolution with the city, but for the WMMPA membership, we do not.
Okay. Any other questions? Hearing and seeing none, I'll let you take a roll call, Beth.
Commissioner DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Motion carries for the resolution. Next, we shall go on to the bid recommendations and acceptance thereof, and I will let our engineer, Mr. Smith, discuss that.
Thanks, Madam Chair. This is in reference to the Priam substation. If you've been southwest on 23, you've probably seen the dirt work that's already in progress out there. This particular project is for the substation control enclosure, so it's the building that you see at the substation site that houses a lot of the protective equipment and communications equipment. The relay panels themselves aren't included in this bid, but it includes the building, the lights, the receptacles. It's got the HVAC system, fire alarms, fire extinguishers, eyewash, all of those items. The budget for this project was, I believe, $427,000. You'll see the bid tab on the second page of DGR's recommendation shows that the low bidder was Trochti in the amount of $263,000. $1,854. DGR has worked with Trochti in the past several times. They have no issues with their ability to perform or deliver the equipment that they said they would. I've seen some pictures of other buildings that they've completed, and I have no issues with them. You'll notice the bids were received on April 24th, and this letter is dated April 27th, and so DGR said that they included their standard terms and conditions, which is common in that subject to our approval, that he recommends we award the contract to Trochti. Since then, we've identified two issues where their general terms and conditions don't align with our specifications. One was the payment terms. They require payment on full on delivery. We typically hold 5% to make sure that it meets all of our specifications before we make that final payment. And then the second one was applicable law. Trochti is a company out of Wisconsin, and so they said disagreements would be handled in Wisconsin law. So we went back and asked them, you know, can we revise those two that you would follow our 5% retainer, and that applicable law would be the state of Minnesota. They were in agreement with that, so we don't have any issues with the terms and conditions that they supplied. And with that said, I would concur with DGR's recommendation to award this project to Trochti, and I would answer any questions you may have.
Okay, and this again is, does require a resolution, so I would open to the commission for a resolution to accept this award of this contract for the Priam substation and discussion to follow.
So move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and second to accept the recommendation from Engineer Smith. Is there any further discussion?
Is this is a hard or a concrete building?
It's a concrete pad, and this would be a steel-sided building.
Okay. So it'll be a building that they move in?
Yep. It will come in on a trailer, and they'll just fasten it to the concrete foundation.
Okay.
Okay. Any other questions regarding it? Hearing none, roll call, Beth.
Commissioner Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
That resolution, that motion for to accept the resolution does pass. And then we'll let you share about the South Substation Capacitor Bank Breaker installation.
Thanks, Madam Chair. So this project is in reference to our South Substation Capacitor Bank, and basically what our capacitor bank does is it supplies voltage support and also increases the efficiency of our system by reducing the current and losses. Our losses are directly related to the amount of current, so that's why we have the capacitor bank. Last spring when we went to energize it, we typically only operated in the summer months when our load is higher. One of the switches failed to operate. We've since put this project together to get that equipment replaced. We've already purchased the replacement breaker for this project, and this is the construction to install that breaker and do the necessary panel adjustments and wiring reconfigurations to control the breaker. This bid budget for this bid was $62,000. We only received one bid for this project. It was $99,000, and they couldn't make our in-service deadline of July 3rd. We really would like to get this back in service before we hit the hot summer months or days again. So we went back to the I basically went back to our line department and said, is there a chance that you guys can perform some of this work? Because we, like I said, we do want to make that in-service date. And they were comfortable doing a majority of the work. So we typically like to bid the whole project out so that there's not any finger pointing if something doesn't go wrong. And we also have the opportunity to take advantage of lower prices that other people might be able to offer to perform the work. And they weren't able to make our budget or our deadline, so we negotiated back with them. We decided that if our crews are able to dismantle some of the existing steel structure and receive the new breaker and put it into place, that we would be able to reduce the scope of this HKS company. And they were happy with that. They actually, the reason they couldn't make our deadline was because of their workload and commitments they had already made. So to kind of outline the changes that were made from the original scope, on the last page of that document, we've got the bid items itemized and then highlighted the areas that our WMU line crew can handle. And that actually reduces the overall project to $57,000. And then we asked them, you know, if we do this work, and a lot of it is the dismantling work and the prep work, are you able to meet our deadline? They said, well, I think we can, but if you give us another week, we can definitely make it. And so we pushed the in-service date from July 3rd to July 12th, and they're willing to honor their bid prices on this project at that deadline for the cost listed here. With that in mind, DGR has done extensive work with HKS, and they don't see any issues with them being able to perform the work or deliver what's required in the specifications. And so I would concur with DGR in awarding this contract to HKS with the negotiated scope.
And I'm not sure if this is a question for our attorney. When you do that and you change the scope of work, must you put it out for the bids again? Because I don't want us to do something and then have somebody else out there ask that question. And I know that delays the project. You want to get it done, but I also want to know that we're doing it the right way.
I think you may have heard Robert Scott chime in there. So.
No, I'm chair members of the commission. There's a general rule of thumb that once it's been put out for bid, you can change the scope of the project. I forget the exact threshold. I don't know if it's 20 or 25% that type of thing without having to rebid the project. Okay. Within that, I'll let Mr. Smith respond to.
As far as our budgeted bid, we would definitely be within that.
Okay. I just want to make sure don't need anybody coming up. Again, this is another resolution, so I would look for the motion to accept the resolution for the breaker installation. I'm not going to read all of that. Is there someone that would like to make that motion to accept the resolution?
Make that resolution that the amount was what, 57,947?
And 70 cents, yeah.
That's and 70 cents.
Yep.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made and motion and seconded. Made the motion and seconded, sorry. For the bid on this project, is there any further discussion? If you take roll call, Beth.
Commissioner McDonald?
Aye.
Blommer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Okay, and that resolution passes. Next, we'll go to the annual League of Minnesota Cities liability coverage, the waiver form. And Denise, if you would just explain that a little bit again for everyone.
Yes, we are up for our annual renewal on our liability coverage, which is through the League of Minnesota Cities. This waiver form, we are basically saying that we are not waiving the statutory limits for the monetary limits that are set forth in the Minnesota Statute 466.04. Sets the limits that people can do lawsuits towards municipalities.
Okay. I'll make the motion to accept that resolution that we continue with that coverage. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion to accept the resolution to accept that the member does not waive the monetary limits for this. Any further questions? Hearing none, Beth, roll call, please.
Commissioner Lahmer?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Mabou?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
McDonald?
Aye.
Okay, and that resolution passes. Next, we'll talk about our wind turbine and report, and again, our engineer, Mr. Smith.
Thanks again. I've got happy news to report, and that is that our wind turbine number 4 had a 100% availability back in April. So congratulations to Windex under the supervision of Brian Hoover over there. Did a great job getting that thing back and up and running. You'll notice that number 3 only had a 78.6% availability, and I say only, but that's actually pretty good considering the historic performance of some of these things. But the cause for that was related to the wind vanes on top of these wind towers. There's two independent meteorology stations that identify the wind direction and wind speed, among other things, and the control system will average the two results out of those and determine how it should respond to changing weather conditions. One of those failed, and so when you average something with a zero, it doesn't end well. The guys were able to go up and just kind of bypass that failed one until they're able to get replacement parts and get it fixed, but that took a little bit of time to handle. They got it back up and running, and so that's why you see a little bit of a dip in performance there out of number three. Overall, both wind turbines generated a total of 681,026 kilowatt hours in the month of April. Are there any questions on that?
I'm always glad when they keep turning around. Thank you very much for your reports today, for the earlier one and this one. Any questions from anyone? Okay, hearing that, then we'll go to the pen test results and we'll let our IS administrator, Mr. Sandgren, report on that.
Thank you, and good afternoon. Between January 2nd and January 5th, we had our pen test done again by NetSpy. And what they're trying to do there is discover our systems from the outside and identify any vulnerabilities and possibly exploit them. And their major concern is the entry point or the high severity vulnerabilities. I think I had a problem with this word last year. Entry point meaning they're basically just able to walk right in, and high severity meaning that there was a vulnerability that they were able to exploit and get in. They also report on any medium or low vulnerabilities as well. Fortunately, again this year, they were unable to gain access or find any entry points or high severity. And remediation was completed in March on the lower severities. And now with that being said, we are not impenetrable. As I like to say, I think the moment we say that, the hackers will prove us wrong. But we just have to be diligent. And with that, I've been looking into some security awareness training, because the users are sometimes our weakest, but also our last defense. So we need to get everybody up to speed on that. So, any questions?
Mike, thank you for your report. Looking at, and I know when we started this test, you had mentioned that possibly for this upcoming year, this next time around, we could possibly do something with the Department of Homeland Security. Have you further explored that opportunity at all?
I have not gone down that road yet. I did receive some information. I was looking more into like a phishing campaign, but if I remember correctly, pen tests were like 12 to 14 months out or something like that. So, but no, I did not pursue that further yet.
Okay. I guess I would encourage that might be something in the future to continue to look into, see if we can get on that schedule at some point.
Yes, and this year we chose to go with NetSpy again, like we had talked, just because they did it last year, so we kind of have that baseline, but
yep.
Definitely
which
for a new one next year.
Yeah. Additionally, with the testing that they did, this was the entirety of our network, or was this just a segment of the network?
This is just from the outside trying to get in, so it's not, they weren't able to get in. If they would had gotten in, they would have tried to pursue further, but so it's just from the outside getting in.
Okay, and this includes access or potential access to the SCADA system as well then?
It would.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Anybody else?
Did they attempt any phishing attempt?
No, that was not part of the scope.
Okay. Are we looking into, that seems like the new easiest way to penetrate.
Yes, looking into some security awareness training that would come with some phishing capabilities that we could do ourselves, actually.
Okay.
And more than just one time, we could do it monthly.
Yeah, there's lots of on the security, the cybersecurity, that type of thing to be on top of as much as possible, as humanly possible. Okay, any other questions? Hearing none, thank you for your report.
Thank you.
We're all going home, of course. You're all going to try to hack into it, don't you? Okay, and then that leads us to our general manager's report, please. Mr. Heron.
All right, thank you, Madam Chair. First item is to consider rescheduling our next meeting, which is Memorial Day weekend. It would be moved from Monday to Tuesday, and I was asked if the commission would be open to moving it to Friday. So I don't know how many commissioners will be around on Friday versus Tuesday, or if there's a preference, one or the other.
And again, I'll just make a comment to the fact of transparency here. I was the one, since I will be gone on that Tuesday following Memorial Day, and I've tested Justin a lot. I like to think of him as mentoring, but he's been hailing meeting. And so if it would work out for that day, and if it doesn't, Justin has agreed to do it on the Tuesday. If it doesn't work in your schedules for Friday.
I'll be gone Tuesday. I'll be here Friday.
Two in favor of. Anybody going to be gone on that Friday at noon time already?
Friday's
maybe, but I'd rather be here because I'll be helping at home for getting ready for grad party that night. So don't put that in the paper.
I like the transparency there too.
Grad party at last. You're all invited. The whole town's invited. That's what she'll be over in.
I'll be here Friday. Move it then.
Okay. Well, it looks like there's no strong disagreements to that date, to moving it to Friday. Then let's have our next meeting then on the Friday before Memorial Day, please. Okay. And we can continue.
All right. Thank you. Update on adjacent utility interest in acquiring utilities. I'm sure most of the commissioners have heard. To some degree, some information regarding that. What has transpired this last month here is we had one of our large customers, they were approached by an adjacent utility, and they were told that they could save them a significant amount of dollars if they could convince the city to sell the utility. They reached out to the mayor, a couple council members, and I believe one or two commissioners as well. And we had a meeting, staff had a meeting with the mayor, one of the council members, as well as we invited our chair, Commissioner Lemire, as well as Commissioner Mattern, as our planning commission chair and vice chair of the commission to that meeting. And when we pulled the data together, our rates are relatively close to our adjacent utility that was soliciting our customers. The big difference that there would be no way for, you know, an adjacent utility to know would be the franchise fee that in 2017 was within our rates. So when you add that to their rates or take it out of our rates, our rate structure as a whole between all our customer classifications, meaning residential, commercial, industrial, are relatively close. So from the meeting that we had with the mayor and one of the council members, as well as with a couple of our commissioners, we reached back out to that business. And we had a good meeting, good discussion with that business, went through our rate structure with them, looked at what we're doing to prepare for the future, and I believe it was a very productive meeting. However, as we go forward, you know, we need to continue to do outreach to some of these customers and do what we can to inform them on energy savings measures, as well as other opportunities that might be available for them to manage their energy costs. So for now, I believe the issue has been addressed. So, any questions or further questions on that? If somebody's looking for a lot of detail, I'd be more than happy to provide that if you just contact me sometime. All right, thank you. Then I'll turn the next one back over to Madam Chair, Missouri River Recap.
Okay, and again, I felt a good meeting. It was the first time I'd gone to that meeting. And for me, it provided insight into the workings, the operations, as well as the financial aspect of the Missouri River. And as I handed out just a piece of information, again, from Missouri River, and our handout tells you what they operate from and how they do things. And they had not only had the board report and that type of thing, but then there were some good speakers that we had at the meeting. And I know that you used to be giving reports on these, and today I'm going to turn it over and let the others give a little bit more in detail of the specific areas from that meeting. Again, for me, it provided the insight on the financial and operational side that for Missouri River, that was important for me, but it is good to know how strong Missouri River is. So, having said that, I'll turn it over to Commissioner Mattern next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think one of the things that probably struck me the most attending this particular event was both the competency and the quality of the staff, the Missouri River folks. I was really impressed. First of all, they were incredibly kind, so I really enjoyed that. But they were very competent. They knew exactly what they were doing. I think it shows the strength and longevity of the folks that are there. I know a lot of the staff right now, they're a little bit concerned that they're going to be losing some of them to retirement. But they have done a very good job of recruiting individuals that are very strong in their various areas of competency. In terms of some of the speakers, one of the things that jumped out at me from the first speaker, who was one of the representatives from APPA, he spoke a little bit about the RP3 designation that we received last year. And I think we all understand that that spoke to the reliability of our utilities. But what I was not aware of is that it also speaks to the strength of the utility financially, the staff that we have, and just the capacity that we have to serve our customers. I didn't realize all of the work that really, truly went into receiving that designation. And so I think that speaks very highly of our staff here and what we've been doing as well. So I found that to be very informative. We had a number of other speakers. They spoke on crisis management. We had an update on the Red Rock Hydro Project, a little bit on clean energy and some nuclear options, which sounded almost too good to be true, but I found quite fascinating as well, some of the work that's being done and explored out there in terms of the nuclear side of things. And then one thing, again, that stood out to me on the second day as well was just the topic of security and cybersecurity. Again, that's kind of close to my heart, and so I appreciate the information there. I think just the continued work that the industry as a whole and that public power has to do in order to keep on top of that is absolutely critical, and so I appreciate, Mike, what you're doing there and the report on that today as well. As you noted, that's something that we have to continue every single day to be aware of and monitor. So those were a couple of highlights that stood out for me, and I turn it over to anyone else who wants to speak on that.
Okay, how about you, Chris? We'll let you go next.
Goodness, I have a lot here. it was all very interesting. Bruce Hennis, his firm focuses exclusively on crisis management and crisis communications. And he basically said, you got to tell the truth, tell it first, tell it all, tell it fast. And that the fundamental role of reporters is not to inform or educate, it's to tell stories. And they use frameworks, which intentionally sets up the story so the subject is a victim or a villain or a hero, or there's just a lot of other words that you can use. And whatever is heard first through the media is generally accepted as the truth. So you got to get your story out there as soon as possible. There is a need for speed, as people believe what they already believe. If they've already heard it, that's what they're going to believe. Also, today with the internet, there's also interactive journalism where the story is published to get it out in the media first. It's like a race. And as new information comes in, they make their first iteration, their second iteration, their third iteration, and so forth. So the story changes. So if you're asked a question and you say no comment, it's immediately portrayed that you have something to hide. Even if you don't, they're going to assume that you're hiding something. So that was really interesting. I'd never heard of the frameworks before. There was also a video presentation on the MRES Red Rock Hydroelectric Project in Pella, Iowa. The project is 72% complete. It is 36.4 megawatts. It's a very impressive plant. They kind of did a, what would you call that, kind of a fast speed, many photographs, so you could see how things were progressing. It's very impressive, and it was a professional grade video. I was very impressed with it. They also talked about the MRES year in review. There's something, I didn't really understand this, the Laramie River Station, they've had a lawsuit with the EPA on the Hays Plan. Sounds like that's ended. Sounds like it ended in April. I really don't understand all the details on it because he didn't really explain that much. But also the CapEx transmission project was completed in 2017. That's 800 miles of transmission over four states, and of course Wilmer Municipal Utilities has a stake in that as well. It connects 3,700 megawatts of wind power. MRES had a capacity imbalance, and then WAPA joined SPP in 2015, so they moved their Exera plant into MISO to take care of that imbalance. They predict no power supply cost increase from 2017 to 2020, which we already knew that because it was, that was in our proposal. They also said that WAPA had a 15% decrease in their power rates as they have repaid the drought adder that was added several years ago. MRES has a $90 million debt that is under the WMPA membership, which is to finance the Red Rock Hydro plant, and that they've received a $2 million savings due to a high bond rating. And MRES is working on their strategic priorities, which are people, to attract and retain good people, finances, because we all have stagnant growth, and resources, which they have 55% of their resources are, or not their resources, but their load is in MISO, and 45% is in SPP. So just being in two different RTOs is challenging. And then their communications. Probably about it.
Okay, thank you, Chris, and we will let you.
Okay, thank you, Madam Chair.
Summarize it up.
Touch on a few other items that went on. On the safety side, Mike Hayward again with APBA talked about how the deaths are declining of our line workers due to FR clothing and training, and that they're also looking at promoting a national standard for lineman training. On the reliability side, in addition to the RP3 that Commissioner Mannion indicated, 80,000 across the nation, 80,000 squirrels contributed to outreaches throughout the year. So it's huge. Also, another thing that I found interesting is customer tolerance. Customers are willing to tolerate a 10-hour outage and or three short outages in a short period of time. I don't necessarily know if that would hold true to our customers, because our customers are pretty accustomed to power all the time. But statistically speaking, across the nation, that's where it's at. To expand a little bit on Chris's with the Laramie River Station, that's owned by multiple utilities, and we're talking about the lawsuit that was with EPA in order to address the emissions. And what was agreed to is the type of emissions that will be installed on that plant to come into compliance with EPA. So that was settled. Basically, on two of the units, they got to put SNCRs on, and one of the units, they got to put an SCR on. Also, through their Bright Energy Savings Programs, their goal is to reduce their load by 80 megawatts. They're sitting at 57. Comes back to what I had indicated a little bit earlier for the utilities, us included, to work with our customers on how they can reduce their load and save energy. So they're getting close to meeting what was set out as their savings that could be achieved through energy reduction. Also, WAPA Western, as you heard from Chris, was a reduction roughly 15% this year because of the drought adder. But anyway, we had a presentation from Mark Gabriel, the CEO, and what they're doing at WAPA to control their costs. They're looking at all their cost drivers and the value of those cost drivers and what they can do to change how they do business to avoid some of those costs. And actually, they avoided about $55 million across WAPA as a whole. Their core values, I also found interesting. They talk about their core values of organization as a mission statement, core value statement. But their core values, listen to understand and speak with purpose. Seek, share, and partner. Be curious. Learn more, do better, and repeat. Those are their core values. So, and then also, changes in the energy market, they're coming mainly being driven by the renewables. So how we provide energy, how we provide our services will continue to change as we go forward. So, and then lastly, on the business meeting, when we received our membership plaque at the business meeting. So that would conclude my update. So unless there's additional questions, I would like to thank the commission for allowing myself and those of us that attended for attending. So it's very worthwhile.
Can I just add one comment in there as to what Justin described regarding our RP3? They're finding that they're looking to put more and more standards in for the electric industry. And part of that RP3, especially, you know, getting the level of award that we did, that there are insurance companies and bonding agencies looking at the RP3 designation. And I, by the way, thought about with the work that we've got done, the potential for bonding, that will be something that will be very much to our advantage as we go forward. I was impressed with that.
To expand on that a little bit more, big thanks out to Janelle. She's the one who led the charge here to obtain the RP3. But there's three designations, and Wilmer, last year, you apply for it every 3 years, we received the highest designation of the RP3 program. So kudos to Wilmer and kudos to Janelle and staff here for leading that charge and submitting that. So as Commissioner Mattern and Madam Chair Lamar indicated, there are many, many benefits to obtaining that status. Anything else?
Nothing else on
recap. Another item on General Manager's report is a recap of City Council meeting. Beth has done a fine job recapping that meeting. And before we push it over to the city, I'd like for the commission to concur or comment on that so we can alter or modify it as appropriate before we send it over to the city.
Thank you, Beth. As we all just kept talking away, you did a good job of recording things, and hopefully that.
So if there's no additional comments on that, it's safe to assume that the commission concurs with the recap that Beth provided here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Yep. All right. Thank you. Then we have a planning committee set for Friday. And topics that will be on that one will be a PCA update on our plant, our power plant, our water treatment plant update, and portable water update. And Labor Committee, we do not have a date set yet, but as soon as we get caught up with a few other items, we'll be picking up the Commissioner 101 and having a Labor Committee to further discuss that. So that would conclude my General Manager's report unless there's additional questions.
And just as listening about future events, and always encourage any involvement, any time that you can give to attend those are beneficial for our organization. The electricity world is huge. It's worldwide, basically, you might say, for getting it. So anything that you can do to be informed is advantageous. Is there anything else to come before the commission this today? Anything else before the commission? Any questions? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned.